Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, July 7th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Tom Wagner. Tom and his wife Sarah Beth and their two kids Elizabeth and Claire Bennett have been at Mount Brook Baptist probably since around March of 2021, and they have plugged in, and I can't wait to have you hear Tom talk about his life and faith at the end of the podcast. Thank you, Tom, for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me here. Definitely appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and read the Bible verse. We'll be reading Mark 1, verses 7 to 8. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And John 1, verses 29 to 34. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, this is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'"
Thank you so much, Tom, for joining the podcast. I want to hear a little bit about you, your life, where you grew up, and your family.
Sure. So I grew up in northwest Minnesota, right on the border of North Dakota. So East Grand Forks, Minnesota is where I grew up, and Grand Forks is right across the river, about 70 miles north of Fargo. Everybody kind of has that as a reference point with all the series going on. But about 60 miles south of the Canadian border, so way up north where it gets real cold.
Yes, and I can tell a little bit by your accent.
Little bit.
Do you have siblings or?
I have two brothers. One older brother, John, he's in Rochester, Minnesota. And then my younger brother, Max, is still in East Grand Forks.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about Sarah Beth and your two girls.
So Sarah Beth and I have been married for 12 years next month. So we met in Nashville, and I was in the Army at the time. So we did a little bit of moving. At our 10 years of marriage, we had moved 9 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we got pretty good at moving. and we have Elizabeth. She's 4 and a half. And then Claire Bennett is just over 1.
Tell me a little bit about your career path and how you chose to be a part of the armed services, things like that.
Sure. So in high school, I knew that I wanted to serve, but I also wanted a good education. So, you know, West Point was at the top of the list of places that I wanted to go. And I applied. I was kind of an underdog in the application process, but I had some strong recommendations from senators and congresspeople. So I got in first go. Got waitlisted, actually. I didn't remember that. And then found the letter from my parents when they moved stuff down from Minnesota when they downsized. But anyways, so went to West Point, and while I was there, I was fully interested in being a tanker, working on or being on tanks and commanding a tank company and whatnot. But as I was there, I was realizing that the current conflicts that we're in, you're not really on tanks. I got interested in aviation. And I actually got a great opportunity to go to the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks, North Dakota, to learn how to fly helicopters. And after that, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. So I've flown 3 different types of helicopters. I've flown Schweitzer H-300C, which is basically just a bubble with a rotor system, it looks like. And then I've flown a Jet Ranger 206, which is like a little bit smaller. It's a, like basically a two-door variant of a news kind of helicopter. That's the training helicopter for the Army. But most of my flight time is in a Black Hawk helicopter, and that's more of your utility type helicopter.
How do you learn how to fly a helicopter?
Very carefully. So you have instructor pilots, so you're always with somebody else. In fact, in the Army, you'll never fly alone unless there's some specific reason why, and that's very atypical. So at the University of North Dakota, you had an instructor pilot, and we actually got to do solo time, true solo time, after about 15 hours in the cockpit, which does not seem like enough.
Doesn't seem like a long time to me.
So, but in the Army, you have an instructor pilot with you through your training. You get to, they call it solo, but it's basically you and another student with you that that is flying the aircraft. And it's down at Fort Rucker. So after West Point, I went down to Fort Rucker for about a year and a half. At the time, it was... training was backed up a little bit because they were trying to push so many people through. It was right before the surge in Afghanistan in 2010, 2011. So I was down there for about a year and a half before moving up to Fort Campbell. And I was with the 101st Combat Aviation Brigade there.
And how long did you serve the Army?
I served for 8 years post-graduation. And after Fort Campbell and a deployment to Afghanistan, I went to Fort Wainwright up in Alaska and did another tour to Afghanistan up there. And in 2015, I decided to get out and pursue business. So from there, I went to Duke Fuqua School of Business to get some business education up
I'm
there.
Feeling Make a pivot. Little bit undereducated here. So West Point and then Duke. And then tell me a little bit about your career path from there.
Sure. So coming out of Duke, I wanted to get a lot of good experience quickly, so I decided to do the consulting route. So I worked with a smaller boutique consulting firm out of Atlanta, and we worked with all sorts of different companies, but we primarily focused on the energy sector. I worked at multiple large energy companies throughout the United States doing basically management consulting. So I did that for 3 years. Then I jumped over into the private equity world as a as an operations manager with auto car trucks here in town. I was there for about a year before getting into real estate. Real estate throughout my time has been a passion of mine, and you know this was a great opportunity to join Spartan Invest as their chief operating officer. And so I was there for about a year and a half, and now I'm looking to do something on my own.
I want to hear a little bit about your personality. Maybe tell us some of your hobbies, your interests.
My hobbies right now revolve around my girls.
Understand that.
So, you know, we love just hanging out with them, going to the lake, enjoying the outdoors, going on walks with the family. It was always a fun and eventful trip. So, you know, usually you have a stroller, but you end up carrying one of them anyway.
And they're pushing the stroller.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, the hobbies and that sort of stuff have, after the birth of Elizabeth, have kind of gone to the back burner. But for the most part, you know, enjoy just being outdoors.
I want to hear a little bit more about your faith. How did you come to faith?
Sure. So I grew up in a Catholic family, actually a Catherine family. So my mom was Catholic. My dad was Lutheran. So we went to both type services, primarily Catholic in my hometown. And then, you know, like holidays and that sort of stuff, we would attend Lutheran services with my dad's family. So I've always been a Christian. I was baptized in the Catholic Church as an infant. And all through West Point would attend Mass. So, you know, it's always been something that I've held close to the heart. But in 2015, we were up in Alaska, and we were attending the Protestant services. So on post, they don't necessarily do Presbyterian, Baptist, so on and so forth. They have all those ministers
just
in
put them
one
all together.
And it depends on the weekend of what you're going to get. So, but during that time, I had a mentor that I was working with and reading scripture and that sort of stuff. And that's just something that I didn't really necessarily do growing up. I mean, I had catechism, but I don't feel like maybe it was just a different time in life, but I really liked getting into the Word and reading the Word. So at that point in time, you know, I thought it would be a good idea to demonstrate my faith. And I actually was baptized in the Chena River at 30 years old, and it was on Memorial Day in 2015. So a river, May 31st in Alaska. Yeah, it's cold, but it was a great experience. So,
and so fitting because we read today about Jesus's baptism, and
absolutely.
So thank you for sharing that story. You guys have really jumped in and connected at Mountain Brook Baptist, and I see you often working in worship care and helping out in that way. Talk to me a little bit about that ministry.
So the truth of the matter is that Sarah Beth signs me up to do the children's ministry, but I do really love it. It's fun to watch the kids learn and also to see them play around with their friends after the lesson is done, and I just really enjoy that. But yeah, we love to be active with the church. We think it's very important to give back as well, and we enjoy doing it. So
I see on Wednesday nights as well. I know you're a part of several growth groups. Even talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so part of two different growth groups. I'm with Baker Crow in the mornings, Wednesday mornings at 6:30, and then I'm with Larry Bearden's group Wednesdays after dinner. So. Both groups are great. They're both very different, but that's kind of what I like about them. If they're the same, I probably wouldn't be going to both of them. So Baker's group, we've been reading books and getting into the Word, and that's been really good for me personally. And, you know, in Larry's class, we talk a little bit more about life and what's going on with each one of us, and it's a really great group to meet with.
Would you share with us about a time or a season where you sensed the Lord's presence or you felt Him at work in your midst?
Sure. So some of you may know that, you know, when Claire Bennett was born last year in May, Sarah Beth had some health complications, and it wasn't from the pregnancy. It was actually unrelated, but it was exacerbated by the pregnancy. So she had a pheochromocytoma, which is a tumor on the adrenal gland on the kidney. I'm a non-medical person here, so I always kind of thought of it as, you know, the tumor was basically using her adrenal gland as a punching bag mm-hmm. whenever it wanted to. So she would, her blood pressures would rise to crazy levels, stroke, heart attack type levels. We're very, very lucky. I think the mortality rate for pregnant women and children during that have a pheo is, I think it's over 50%. It's pretty high. So, you know, feel very, very blessed that both of them are okay. Sarah Beth has since had that tumor removed. And after the surgery, it was, you know, 100% recovery. So, you know, we continue to watch that sort of thing. During that time, you know, maybe it's ignorance is bliss. We didn't read a whole lot about it. Sarah Beth is in the medical field, so she knew exactly what it was, and actually diagnosed herself well before the doctors did. But anyways, you know, we feel very blessed that we had the outcomes that we've had, that Sarah Beth is okay, that she didn't have a stroke or a heart attack. Definitely felt that we weren't lucky, that we were blessed, and that God helped protect both my girls.
Do you have a passage of scripture that is near to your heart?
I do. So in 2010, right before my first deployment, Sarah Beth and I were dating at the time, and I was getting ready to go, and Sarah Beth handed me a note card with Joshua 1:9 on it, and Joshua 1:9 is, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And I had that in my breast pocket on basically every day, every mission that I went on in Afghanistan in 2010, 2011, and read it often. So that's one that I've held close to my heart.
Thank you so much, Tom, for your service for our country and also for reading for the podcast today. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Sure. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to get into your word. We ask that you bless and protect all the servicemen and women, especially on this 4th of July weekend. We ask that you just bless and protect all those out there traveling, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen.